So in this session, we want to continue the exploration of conflict. And did we leave some copies of the handout on the pillows? There's some, if you don't have one, you can come there up front. Maybe we can leave them in some way near the door. Anyway, there are some up front, and you can either get them or share with a neighbor. So, what we're going to do in this session is to continue the exploration of conflict. And here, we want to add to what Aviv and Zohar presented to give some further sense of frameworks for transforming conflicts. Some people use the language resolving conflicts, but many of us think that you don't really resolve conflicts, you transform them in a good direction. Okay? So there are differences of views there. And so I wanted to just add a few thoughts and present a model, and then we would then we'll do some exercises together. Okay? We'll all be for this period, will be professional level mediators, okay? Doing skillful conflict transformation work, okay? So one thing we could see from the body practice and from the way Aviv was presenting conflict, that many conflicts, maybe most conflicts, are structured as dualism. In other words, two sides. And the structure of the dualistic structure of conflict is that one side wins and one side loses. That's a very typical structure of conflict, isn't it? And I think in the US, people often use the metaphor of sports. Sports is often structured dualistically, right? One side wins, one side loses. Right, and although that's not when I was a child, we did sports all the time, and no one won and no one lost. So a little different, but here in our society, we often have that sense of conflict is structured as a dualism: one side wins and one side loses. And one of the approaches that we'll explore now is seeing how to move out of the dualism. How to move out of the dualistic structure of conflict. And we already have some examples from Zohar. You know, we could see that actually, we could talk about it in different ways, but that empathy seems to take us out of a dualistic conflict, right? In her example, that seemed to be one way to move out of the conflict. The conflict is dependent on that escalation that Aviv talked about. And so if we are interested in moving out of that dualistic conflict, we de-escalate and we move back to the source of where the escalation started. That's one way to look at it. So Thich Nhat Hanh says the role of a peacemaker is to bring the suffering of one side to the other side and to bring the suffering of that first side back to the other side. So a lot of times there is pain and suffering, and as we were seeing with the examples from Zohar and from Aviv, when there is pain, things escalate. When there is difficulty, things escalate. So how do you bring things back? So that's one way to look at it. How to move out of the dualism? So many conflicts are structured dualistically. So I thought I would tell a story from the Hasidic tradition, okay? This is Poland, maybe 18th century, okay? There is a great Hasidic teacher, and he has a young teacher who is jealous, and he wants to embarrass the older teacher and be able to get many of his students. He wants more students. Okay? And the great teacher has many students. So the young teacher arranges to have a dialogue with the great teacher in public before the community of the teacher's students. And he meets, and his plan, what he does is he has a bird in his hand, and he asks the teacher, "I have a bird in my hand. Is it dead or alive?" He has it in his hand. And his plan is, if the teacher says yes, he is alive, he crushes the bird. If he says no, it is not alive, he lets the bird go. In both cases, the great teacher is wrong. And he thinks the great teacher will be embarrassed and he will get many more students. That's his plan. So dualistic conflict, right? Either this or this. And so what happens? What happens? The teacher immediately says, you know, he's asked the question, "I have a bird in my hand. Is it alive or dead?" And he says, "I think that it is up to you." So you see what he did? He refused to play the game of the dualistic conflict. It's one way. So what we're interested in is ways to move out. You know, and there are quite a few different ways. I think Zohar gave an example. Empathy would be an example. De-escalation is another way. The Buddha framed his teaching as the middle way. Many of you know this. And he explicitly understood it as the avoidance of two extremes. You know, that was how he understood the teaching. Here, this is one thing he said. When things are set in pairs as opposites, there results anger, confusion, and dishonesty. So he was seeing the danger of two extremes. And that was really, that's the essence really of the teaching. I could say more there, but I want to point to another model, a very influential model that we'll practice with. And it's one model, comes from a number of people. And some of you know this. This is called in English, it's sometimes called the win-win model of conflict transformation, both-and model of conflict transformation. And it's been developed by quite a number of people. I learned it particularly from a man named Johann Galtung, who was the founder in the world of peace studies about 1960. And he, very influential, he's in his late 80s now, he's originally from Norway. Very interesting, his father was the mayor of Oslo in Norway when the Nazis came. And Johan was born in 1930, so he was a teenager, or you know, young teenager, and he was actually active in the Norwegian resistance as a 13-year-old and 14-year-old against the Nazis. Very interesting. History. And I met him in the U.S. And did a number of workshops with him and learned this model. It's also been developed in the U.S. very prominently by at Harvard University. There's a project with quite a few books called the Harvard Negotiation Project, and probably translated into Hebrew, I would think, right? Is it?
Getting to Yes?
Getting to Yes is the first one, maybe from about 35 years ago. And there are quite a few other. Another very good one is called Difficult Conversations. That's probably translated, right, I would think. And so, no? No. They're wonderful, wonderful books that have this model. So I want to talk about the model very briefly, and then we'll do it. And I have a summary of the model in your handout, okay? So this is a way to go beyond dualistic conflicts. And of course, many conflicts are more complex, you know. But you can see, you know, the basis of many conflicts in a dualistic structure. Many of them maybe have not just two sides, but three sides, four sides, five sides, right? So it's actually, in truth, things are more complex, but it can be very helpful to work with a model that's on your handout and train in it, particularly with simpler situations. Again, one of the main principles of training, you train with simpler situations, you develop capacity, like with empathy, you develop capacity, and then you go to what is more difficult. You know, sometimes you don't have a choice, the difficult is in your face, right? But the training would be you train with things that are not so hard. And so here's the model that we have from Galtung. He says there is, we can have a diagram, which I have up here, which you have on your handout, that for, let's say we have a conflict that has two sides. And remember, I was understanding conflict to sometimes be just very ordinary. Should we go to this cafe or that cafe? So that's a conflict, it's a difference. You know, it could be a difference of values, difference of needs, and so forth. But it's a conflict that only when it escalates, as Aviv was saying, might it really involve threat. You know, we can have some conflicts. I think for me it's very helpful to think about conflict and to think that when it gets escalated, there can be a sense of threat. But I think as Aviv was saying at the end, sometimes when you are further down, you can approach a difference without a sense of threat. So I think it's important to see that we have everyday conflicts, which we resolve all the time without a sense of threat or difficulty. Like, what restaurant should we go to? You know, what should we talk about at our meeting, right? And maybe one person has one idea, one person has another idea. It's a kind of conflict, but you know, there's not necessarily a big problem, right? And I think it's helpful to see that because it trains us to have a different perspective for conflicts which do involve more sense of threat. Okay, I think that's helpful. So we have a dualistic structure. We have two sides, A and B, and this is on your handout, okay? And what Galtung helps us see is that in every conflict, there are five possibilities. Normally, we just think there are two possibilities. Either A wins or B wins. You know, so when I have the letter A here, that stands for one side, and we can say one possibility is that one side wins. You know, and the other possibility is that the other side wins. And often we think of conflict as like this, either one side wins or other. That's why I think sports is quite influential, makes us think in that way. I know in the US, when they had in baseball, when they had a tie at an All-Star game and no one won, people were so upset. It was very funny. You know, from the point of view of conflict, they were, oh my gosh, there's no winner, no loser. And so a very common tendency to think we have to have a winner or a loser. And that is very limited thinking, right? That's very limited thinking. And so there are three other possibilities here, and they're symbolized, and they're kind of by on the diagram. Letter C is avoidance of the conflict, okay? So normally in a conflict, it's active. You know, there could be tension, there could be difficult emotions, there could even be threats, there even could be violence in a conflict. And when a conflict is active, there's a tendency to think either A wins or B wins. And so in all situations, it's actually better to have either C, D, or E, because you move away from active conflict. And so part of the creativity is sometimes to think, now C is avoidance, but sometimes avoidance is a very good thing. This C would be the same as a ceasefire, right? You know, when you actually, you get people to stop fighting or stop being angry with each other in different ways, all sorts of ways to do this. But sometimes for a peacemaker or mediator, C is extremely positive. And in fact, Galtung calls the movement from C to E, I think he calls it the peace diagonal. Is that what I called it on here? I forget, did I write that on here? Something like that. Basically, your first option is C, and then as you go from D to E, you have progressively better ways to work with the conflict. But it can be very, very helpful to avoid a conflict, right? You see, someone you're with once is very aggressive towards you. Maybe the best thing is just to get out of the way to avoid the conflict, right? Sometimes that's the best thing. Sometimes you can get to a place where you have compromise. Letter D stands for compromise. This doesn't meet the deep needs of each side, but it meets them partway, right? And that's often a very, very good solution. And then E is called the both and or the win-win solution, where you meet the deep legitimate needs of each side. And this goes back to the handout from yesterday, where I like the language what matters when we were doing the empathy practice. It's very similar to that. Remember I distinguished between need and strategy? Do you remember that? It's very important here because what we're looking for is a way to meet legitimate, authentic needs, not strategies, you know? So one side, you know, at the level of a country may have a deep need for security. That is legitimate. The strategy of getting security by dominating another country, that's a strategy, you know? And that's different from the need. And often those get confused. So it's very important. So we recognize, okay, security, that's legitimate, right? Safety, security, that's legitimate. But the strategy can be a big problem. Okay? Remember that from yesterday? I think, let me not take questions now. Maybe later we'll have some. Unless it's understanding. So not a philosophical question, okay?
No, is this similar to game theory?
Don't know. No, okay. Okay. Anyway, okay? So is that clear? So we're gonna look at some examples. So maybe I'll look at let me see if I can give you maybe like one example right now. Okay, I'll give you one example. Let's see what our time is like. I'll give you one example that we'll do together, and then we'll do some others in groups, okay? So here's an example. I am a parent. I am in the kitchen. I have two young children. There is one orange on the table. Both children want the orange. Okay? So we have a conflict. And so what the training is to see what A, B, C, D, and E looks like. Okay? So we have a conflict. We have both children want the orange. So what does A look like? What is solution number A?
One
child gets the orange. Okay? What is solution B? The other one gets the orange. Okay, very good. You're learning very fast. Okay, what is C? Avoidance. Maybe the parent says, you know, because you're being bad, none of you get the orange, and I'll have it. You know, or maybe you say, yeah, or something. You see, we're having creativity now. Very, very good. You know, maybe the parent says, it's actually rotten orange. No one gets it, okay? So again, we're being a little simple here, but you get the idea. That would be avoiding the conflict, just saying no one gets it. Okay, what would compromise be? D? Yeah, very easy, cut it in half, okay? So now here's where we get creative. What does the both and, you know, let's go back and say, what are the legitimate needs of each child? Maybe hungry. Well, let's just assume they're hungry, okay? And so what are some ways to, you know, what the thinking is we get outside of the conflict. You know, if we get very narrow, we think the only way to deal with this is either one child gets the orange or the other. And so, although it's not so hard to think that we cut it in half, right? But are there other solutions that are more in the both and or win-win? Can you think of one? Yeah.
Each one gets half of orange and then apple.
Yeah. So the mother says, we just have one orange, but we have an apple. in the refrigerator. How about half an orange or half an apple? See, you have to be, you're being creative, right? So Galtung says that someone who is a mediator or peacemaker, being creative is very important. He says artists are the best mediators. Okay, so you're creative, and we could go from there. We could say, okay, I have an apple too. Would one of you like the orange and one of you like the apple, right? Okay, so see, we're starting with simple conflicts, right? Yeah.
I have a question. There is a reason that you mentioned parents, because AB it's the child. So why you involve the parents in this exam?
Well, that's part of, I'm defining the situation. The parent is part of the situation.
Oh, right.
You know, if it was just the children, maybe they would fight, you know, who knows? You know, but I'm including the parents as part of the situation, so just, it could be otherwise, yeah. So what is another way to have E? Yeah, did you have one?
It's not a solution, it's more like an input.
I'm looking for solutions, okay. Okay.
Maybe the need is for attention, not for from hunger.
Yeah.
Then you can let go outside and play or something.
Let's go outside and play. So see, that's being creative. We don't know. Let's assume now that it is hunger, okay? But that's possible, yeah.
But that's exactly the point. So you want to know why he wants that.
Yeah, you want to know what the needs are. So the mother...
Why do you need that?
Yeah, so the mother might ask questions. Or the mother or father might know, oh, I really know they're hungry. So we don't want to get too complex with the example. Okay, yeah.
Let's go to the supermarket.
Yes, good. Maybe there's a supermarket and you can have three oranges. Is that okay? Right? So, see, where the idea here is we're being creative to go beyond our usual thinking, right? That's the idea, to go outside. Do you have a solution?
No, I have a question.
Yeah, let's just take solutions now, okay? Mm-hmm. And maybe come back to questions. Another one?
One is less hungry and he likes to cook, so he makes jam from the outside of the orange and waits a while, and the other one gets the orange.
Yeah, so then maybe they say one is more hungry than the other, so they make jam, one eats the orange, and then later, yeah, so, but the important thing here is that we're being creative, right? We are, because most conflicts, we can never be this creative, right? Because we're contracted, right? Especially if there's any sense of contraction, difficult emotions, threat, creativity goes out the window, right? And so, see, this is why we need mindfulness, maybe meditation, because that can open up the creativity, okay? So, maybe, I'm wondering, I was going to do small groups, but maybe it's better to, maybe your question, and if it's too complex, I'll hold it till later, but yeah, please. That's what?
Without mediator.
Yeah.
Without a grown-up there.
Two children without a parent?
No. Or the parent doesn't want them to eat now, and both of the children want to eat now.
Yeah, there are about 100 different possible conflicts.
Yeah, but for something without mediator, that's what I meant.
Yeah, well, we could, I'm trying to just take a few examples and stay with them, but you could explore that, I think. I'm not going to follow that up now, because I want to stay with just a few examples that get a little harder. So maybe it's better, do you like doing it in the whole group like this?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to go into groups of four, but I'm a little concerned about the time. It takes a little more time. So you okay doing it in the whole group? Okay. Let's see. We'll do one more in the group, in the whole group, and I'll see if I have time to do it in a small group. We'll do that, okay? So here's a second example, a little more hard, okay? Let's see, maybe not hard, okay. Okay, I am a parent, and I have a daughter who is a teenager, okay? And she has been trained to have two values. two main values. One is to be honest. This is a little bit like going back to our speech practice. One is to be honest, and the other is to be compassionate. Okay? And sometimes these feel like they're in conflict, okay? So, let's say, so we can see that we have a potential conflict between honesty and compassion, right? It's not necessarily a conflict, but it can be. So what does it look like? Let's say she is, let's say she is talking to me about she wants to use the car this afternoon, and I say it is not possible. Okay, that's the situation, and I have trained her to be both honest and compassionate. So the conflict is not between, we have one conflict maybe between me and the daughter, but the main one we look at is A is honesty and B is compassion. So if she is only honest and not compassionate, what does she say?
I hate you.
Yeah, or maybe worse. Yeah, I hate you, what does she say? So when A is the area that there is, when A wins, so to speak, she says, with just honesty, with no compassion. 100% honesty, zero compassion. Then she says, I hate you. What else does she say?
I need the car.
Yeah, I need the car. She says it not quite so politely. Right? Yeah, right. What else might she say?
Disappointed.
You hate me. Yeah. You're a horrible parent. You're a horrible parent. You always do this.
You're ruining my life.
You're ruining my life. I have no freedom. You know, all of my friends, they have such good parents, and I am left with you. Right? Okay, you get the idea. Okay, what happens, this is a little bit difficult to imagine, but what happens if she is mostly with compassion and a kind heart? What does she say? Without honesty, maybe.
I understand.
And she actually, let's suppose that she actually feels anger, okay? But maybe she doesn't want, she's, for whatever reason, she doesn't want to bring it out, right? So she says, I understand. What else might she say?
Thank you for telling me
and communicating with me. Thank you. They're very hard to imagine, okay? Okay.
I love you.
I love you so much. You make hard decisions so well. You know?
You maybe need more power.
Yeah. You know, I love you so much. Other parents, they let their children have the car when they want. I am developing so much discipline. Okay. What would C look like? Avoidance. Let's say for the daughter. What?
I don't need the car.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about it. Usually it would mean like I just, you know, maybe she slams the door. Okay? Slams the door, whoops, and leaves. That might be avoidance, right?
That would be
in a way close to honesty, but yeah. What would be another example of avoidance? Yeah, just to stop talking and walk to her room or...
Take a bus.
She just walks out, takes a bus, doesn't... Yeah, I think your point is good. Doesn't slam the door.
Or
she doesn't show her feelings, right, okay?
Maybe talk to her mother.
What?
Talk to her mother.
Yeah, her... that wouldn't be avoidance. Yeah.
If the honesty is fake.
Yeah. It could be if she gave fake honesty, like this is okay, you know. Okay.
Isn't taking a compromise?
Yeah, I think I'm mostly concerned now with the conflict between honesty and compassion. It, like you say, it's more complex. So what would compromise look like? Remember, we're talking about the conflict is honesty and compassion. It's not between the daughter and the mother. We could look at it that way, but right now we're looking at it one way. Yeah.
Okay, so I agree you won't give me the car, but please give me a ride.
Yeah, yeah. So it might be something like she's honest. I really wanted the car, but maybe I understand you need it, but can you give me a ride? Something like that. That's getting into compromise. You see how this takes some creativity? That if either A or B are dominant, not much happens, right? Okay? And what would the creative, what does the creative solution look like, number E? Both and, let's say, high degree of honesty, high degree of compassion. Yeah. Yeah, that would be a wonderful start. You know, I maybe you would also say, I really want to use it. I see you really need it. Could we talk together some, right? So you see that there's not the tightness or the contraction there, right? Not so easy. Probably not so easy for that teenage daughter, right? But that would be maybe another one. Yeah. Yeah, maybe it would be, I'm disappointed, I really need the car, I understand your need, and I know you have the power. But could we make a schedule for the future so that my needs could be met also? That would be, you hear that? Does that seem to be E? I think so. You know, sometimes there's not clear distinction between D and E, right? Yeah.
Maybe in E she will ask if it's the right time to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, she would be honest, talk about her feelings and say, could we talk about this at the right time? Something like that. So you see how this involves creativity, not being contracted, having imagination. And all of those, again, what Zohar was saying is very important. So I'm going to give one last example, okay? I think we'll do it in the group like this. So, the difference between D and E? Yeah, sometimes it's not so clear, but with the orange it was pretty clear, right? With this one, I think it would be, maybe the idea is that it's some honesty, but not so much, some compassion, but not so much, and with E, it's fuller. Yeah, it's fuller there. So, okay, last example is real life example of conflict between two countries. I am very confident you will solve this in 5 minutes. Okay? Okay, this is a real life story. Okay, we have a conflict between Peru and Ecuador. Since, I think, the 1830s up to the 1990s, they have fought four wars about land that lies on their border. Many people have been killed. Four wars. And the land is in the mountains. It's in the Andes. And no one lives there. And there are no natural resources. Okay? So let's go through again. I think when you're training in this, it's very good not to just go to E, but to try to say, what is A, what is B, what is C, what is D, what is E? Okay? What is A? It's the continuation of the conflict in different ways. Maybe fighting, you know, and maybe bad words, that tension that eventually leads to more fighting.
Wouldn't be one country wins.
Yeah, basically A is one country wins, right?
And B
is the other. And so B is the other country wins. Or let's say gets the land, okay? One country gets the land, B, the other country gets the land. And that's the way they were structuring the conflict for 150 years. Okay?
What are their needs for the land?
Yeah, let's try to clarify the needs. Because they would be different. I think the legitimate needs probably are peace, security, and I don't know, keeping some dignity, probably. Mm-hmm. I think, I mean...
Is there a strategy advantage?
What?
Some advantage, the fact that it's in the mountains?
That would be... I think that the legitimate needs would be something like what I mentioned, security, peace, and some dignity. So it's not simply they don't just give up, you know? What? Yeah, maybe. Let's go with the example. I think something like that. Okay. So what does C look like?
Everyone died.
Ceasefire. What?
Everyone died.
Everyone died. No. No, that's D. That's more like a compromise.
C is
avoidance. So what is what? Maybe it's like a ceasefire. They agree on a ceasefire for 5 years. That would be C, right? And maybe after 5 years they go back to fight. Yeah.
So also putting the war.
Yeah. No. That's. I think that would not. That would not be avoidance. That would be in some way dealing with the problem. So avoidance is more like ceasefire. Or just forgetting about the problem. Does that make sense?
Selling it to
China. What?
What?
One side gives up.
That could be. Yeah, that could be. But for both sides, one side gives up and gives in to the other, that would be a kind of avoidance by one side, not by both sides, right? So, yeah, see, it's complex, right? But I was saying, what does avoidance mean by both sides, okay? And then, what does D look like? Huh? Yeah, I could say another way that avoidance could happen, maybe they agree that they're not going to deal with it, but the United Nations will. That would be an example of C. Or some larger country says, we will take care of it, right? That would be an example of C. Compromise, remember, compromise is meeting some of the needs, but not all of them. So is just divide the land in half? That would be one way to do it. Any other sense of compromise?
They will have it for some years, and then they will have it for
That's right. That's very good.
No,
so, you know, they say, you have the land for 50 years, we have it for the next 50 years, we go back and forth. It's unrealistic, probably never happens like that, but we're looking for the imagination now, right? So that's very good. Yeah, another example of compromise?
We'll give you another land.
Yeah, something very good. Something like that. You can have this land if you give us the other land, right?
Money.
Very good. Or money, right? Or something like that, yeah. Okay, another compromise?
Yes, let's live together in the land.
Sure.
Let's live together in the land. That's a little bit more like E, mm-hmm. right? A little more of a more visionary. Again, the line, the difference between D and E is not always so clear, right? So... Yeah, it depends on identifying the needs, but it could. My intuition is that's a little bit more like the best solution. You know, it's getting close to that. So okay. So what are some examples of E, the both and solution for these two countries?
Nature reserve of the red people.
A what?
Of the red people. Nature reserve of the red people.
What do you mean, the red people?
The Indian.
The native people. So let the native people have the land as a nature resort. Okay, very good. Yeah, and that might not be so satisfactory for the rulers, but I think I like the way you're going. Okay. Other possible ones, yeah.
Like she said, maybe to manage this land together and to develop it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe to have the land together, manage it together, develop it. Is yeah, very creative, right? To cooperate and to develop it together in some way. Or, yeah. Others? Yeah.
Make a huge amusement park for
both. Make an amusement park. Yeah, remember this is at the top of the mountains.
Ski resort.
Ski resort. Right. ski resort run by both countries, right? So these are very good ideas, aren't they? You know, have you thought of entering the field of international mediation? Okay. So what did they actually, what actually happened? This is how I understood the story. In the late, about, they had another war in the 1990s. Some of the young military people were so disgusted by this history, they wanted to try to find a solution. And they asked Galtung to come down and help them. And he came down and he talked with them. He proposed a jointly managed natural park. And both sides agreed, and that's what they did. And they have had, they've had stability since then. You know, and he said it took about 2 or 3 days, not very long. And he gave them, he happened to be in, I think in Quito at the time, and he gave them a bill of $43 for the bus ride, and then he went home.
Where is this person?
Yeah. The solution was jointly managed. They managed together a natural park, like national park for tourists and so forth to come see the beauty of the land, and they do it together.
But if I may ask, who, which of the countries got the economical benefit of the park?
I think both, yeah.
Both?
Both, yeah. Yeah, it was just balanced like that. And so... that's an example, right?
And what was the process that brought them? I think that's what's, because it seems that they came mature to this.
Yeah, they came with the willingness to, and again, this is different from many conflicts in that there were not many, there were not resources and there were not people. So it made it much simpler, right? Much easier. So that's very important. You know, other conflicts may be, you know, there's more of the contraction. So there, for some of the people there, there was not, we could say, probably not so much contraction. So they were willing to, still, they had wars about it. So it was not nothing. And so, yeah, so they, so what was very important was after the last war, there was a willingness, particularly the younger officers were saying, this is crazy. We don't want to keep doing this. And they found a way to come together. So it's, again, made a big difference that there was not, you know, not people, not resources. But to me, it's still very inspiring, right, to hear this and to, but you get a set, the important thing here is that you are able, when this is something where you're, you know, you're balanced, you're present, you're actually not directly involved, you can do this process very easily, very well, right? That's pretty important. Right, so how? So my suggestion would be, maybe I will, I'll end just in a moment, would be how can you bring this to your everyday experience? So I suggest that you start with very simple conflicts and you maybe look at this model. You and your partner, one person wants to go out to eat, the other one wants to stay home. How do you, that's a conflict. You can look at it like this and think about all the options, you know, but how do you find E is the best solution? Because you're meeting the deeper needs of both sides. The other ones don't do that. You know, A, B, C, and D do not fully do that. So they're not as sustainable, we would say. They're not as stable, right? So this is one model. This has its pros and cons, right? It has its, but I think for me, it's quite applicable. So maybe one, just one question, then I'll have to finish so we have time for meditation. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I?
Yeah.
So, I really like the main idea, but my question is, if I look at mathematically, so I see, and I only look about A, B, and E, right? So, to get from A to E, or to get from 0 to A is 10, right? For the sake of the example, right?
Okay.
From 0 to B, it's 10 also. So from B to E and A to E, it's 10 also. So the person on A
if I want to suggest a solution for the A and B, the problem is in highly complex situation, getting the person to go these 10 steps.
Yeah.
The person will say, I don't know, let's say Palestine is really complicated. No one wants to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Let's say I'm an Israel or I'm Palestinian, I'm willing to go 5 steps. That's
yeah.
Okay, so my suggestion is take this model and instead of 2D, make it 3D. What does it say? If you can imagine it like 3D, or if not, I can write it down. It's instead of going 10 steps, go 5 steps inside. And then they meet inside 5 steps. It's like going inside and going less steps. So it's less persuasive to the other side.
Yeah.
You have to go 10 steps. No, you don't have to go 10 steps. It's only 5. And you meet inside.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if we were wanting to use this in different ways, maybe incorporate what Zohar talked about, we would be able to do something like what you say, maybe say, how do you get from, if someone's really stuck at A, how do you get to C? How do you get to D? And we could actually say, okay, here are these steps can help you get there. Okay, everyone in this conflict has to come to a Tovana meditation retreat. Steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. So, but I think that it's helpful to think. Yeah, I think you're right. What I liked was to understand that sometimes A is very, very stuck there. Right. Sometimes B is very, very stuck there. So it is important to know what are the small steps that you take away from the stuckness. Okay. So I want to end here, and so we have because we wanted to have time for meditation. And I hope this was helpful, and that you can take this home, bring this, put this, bring this with you everywhere you go, and apply it to conflict. Start with the easier ones before you go to the hard ones. You know, yeah.
What is better, C or D?
What?
C or D? Generally,
it depends on the situation. Galtung said that what anything that takes you out of the direct conflict, either C, D, or E, is helpful if there is a direct conflict. We usually think avoidance not so good, but it's actually very positive in some circumstances, right? And so you go the best you can. If you can't do D, do C. If you can do D, do that. If you can do E, go right there, right? So usually C is easier than D, and D is easier than E. So you go as far as you can. That's the idea, okay? So thank you, and hope this was useful. And it also brings some, I like bringing in the element of creativity, you know, because that's very important for all this, because how do you get out? Because when we're contracted, the conflict is very tight, and we can't, the creativity is gone, right? And so, very important, okay? Thank you. So we'll have about 25 minutes of sitting before lunch. And if you've been sitting for a long time and you want to stand up for a while, that's fine, of course.